and knowledge rather than gold. Now, let me say this. The Bible says that wisdom is better than riches. And that is very, very true, because if you truly have wisdom, you will have all that you need. If your pursuit in life is wealth for the sake of wealth, that is not wisdom. We are people that find fulfillment in fulfilling purposes that are bigger than ourselves. That's the way God made us. And the reason is because God's purposes are always bigger than us in ourselves. And when we are fulfilling God's purposes, that's when we will find fulfillment and true contentment and joy. So he said, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. So, but one thing I must say about the wisdom of God is that when you're operating in the wisdom of God, everything you need to accomplish your goals will be made available by wisdom. By wisdom. Your objective is not wealth. Wealth should be a tool. It shouldn't be an end. It's a means to an end. So what we receive, what we go for the people that we have this divine wisdom, their priority must shift from mammon. If your priority is still mammon, you will not be able to walk in divine wisdom. That's one thing verse 10 tells us. Say, receive my instruction and not silver. If your heart is to receive silver, you will not receive the instruction of wisdom. You will not walk in divine wisdom. It says knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. That is just objectively true. He say, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and direction. Wisdom dwells with prudence. What is the meaning of prudence? Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines prudence thus. It says, prudence is the ability to govern and discipline oneself by the use of reason. It is the ability to govern and discipline oneself by the use of reason. Oneself by the use of reason. You cannot talk about prudence without talking about discipline. So one of the attributes of wisdom is that there is discipline in it. You cannot talk about wisdom without talking about discipline. I used to tell my friends, I say, if there's anything I must impart to my biological children, it is the character of diligence and discipline. There are many talented people that have not been able to go far or accomplish a fraction of their potential because they are not diligent. They are not disciplined. And one of the best things you can do for children is to teach them discipline. Teach them the culture of discipline and diligence. Delayed gratification. It is very, very important. That is one of the attributes of wisdom. You say, I find knowledge and discretion. Now it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. I hate arrogant pride and the evil way and perverse utterances. One of the things about the wisdom of God is that the wisdom of God is humble. That's one of the major differences between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the devil. The wisdom of the devil is proud. The wisdom of God is humble. You remember that one of the reasons why Lucifer became Satan was because of pride. The wisdom of God is humble. The wisdom of the devil is proud. So Jesus, who is called the wisdom of God, the two domineering character attributes you find in Jesus is that he was meek and lowly, or he was gentle and humble. Meek meaning humble, and then lowly meaning gentle. And that's the character of Christ. And wherever you saw the spirit of Christ, even all from the Old Testament to the New Testament, wherever people operated in the spirit of Christ, because you will see that the prophet talks about how that the prophet, the spirit of Christ in them was prophesying certain things. You will find that the spirit of Christ has this undeniable attribute of meekness. That was the reason why Father Abraham, who God referred to as a prophet, asked Lot to pick first. He was older than Lot. In fact, Lot followed him. Lot was, you know, practically his subordinate, living off him as it were. They were both businessmen. They both owned cattle. But when it was time to choose, normally, reasonably, Abraham should have been first person to choose the land, the better land, and then what Abraham left, didn't choose, will be what Lot would take. But Abraham didn't operate like that. He said, Lot, you take first. And Lot took first. And we know it didn't end so well for Lot. So, wisdom is, humble. But the wisdom of the world, or the wisdom, which is also demonic. Now, why is the wisdom of the world demonic? The reason is because when man fell, we fell short of the glory of God, we began to walk in the satanic nature. So that nature in a young boy, you know, that I had when I was born, that nobody needed to teach me how to lie or how to steal. Those things came naturally. How to be mean and selfish and self-centered was a natural outworking of the, of what I was as a person. That nature, that default nature of man is actually satanic. And this is because of the fall. And that's why, in order for you to be a partaker of the divine nature and for you to walk in the wisdom of God, you must be born again. When you are born again, your spirit is regenerated. You are born with a new nature from within. That is the nature of God. You know, when you see a child that is behaving very well, you assume that the child was well trained. You say that child has home training. But when you find the child that is just behaving anyhow, no discipline, self-centered, ill-mannered, you say, that child has no training. They left that child to himself. Because that's what happens. Good behavior does not come naturally for we as human beings. When you see someone that is behaving well, it is not the natural outworking of what we are. It is actually the product of training when people are behaving well. And that is what the wisdom, you know, when you are born again, your spirit has been regenerated. That is the reason why when your mind is now trained with God's word, the training can stay. And so your mind will now give expression to the new you that you have within. If you give that training to a person that has not been regenerated, he may have some, he may receive the training, he might oblige the training and begin to, but his, the inner him is still corrupt and wicked. And so it's just a matter of time that evil nature will manifest in spite of the great training. And that was what was happening in the Old Testament under the law. People could train their minds to obey the law of God, but in their hearts there was hatred, there was envy, there was pride and all of that. And that one, the law couldn't do anything about it. But when Jesus Christ came, he came to do the work from inside out. So, when you talk about wisdom, you are talking about the wisdom of God, the wisdom from above. You are talking about humility. It says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. This is wisdom speaking. Verse 14 from New English Translation says, counsel and sound wisdom belong to me. You see that this is clearly referring to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I possess understanding and might. Kings reign by means of me, and potentates decree righteousness. So when you find a throne that will last, a throne that will be an enduring throne, this is usually because of wisdom. Now, some people have made their thrones enduring in a sense because they have applied, they have imported the wisdom that is satanic. The problem with that wisdom is that that wisdom does not have fruits that will last unto eternity. And we are eternal beings. So it's just going to be a matter of time for people who apply the wisdom of this world, the satanic wisdom, to realize that they were not wise. Because when their lives are over and their physical lives are over, but they realize that they will continue to live on, and then there's nothing for them because of the choices that they made in demonic wisdom, which when you now look at it from place of eternity, we'll say the choices that they made in the foolishness. They will realize that they have nothing. They are naked in the spiritual realm, eternally naked, eternally poor and beggarly. Whereas a person that understands the wisdom of God, that walks in it, will store for himself treasures for eternity. He said, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Now, did you notice it didn't say those that seek me shall find me? King James actually says, "Those that seek me early shall find me." Now he says, "I love them that love me." Do you love wisdom? Because if you love wisdom, if you love the Lord will love you. Now I want us to remember that Proverbs chapter 8 started talking about wisdom. You think he's talking about just wisdom as an abstraction, but you will later see that this is not just talking about an abstraction. It's actually talking about a person. How do you know that wisdom is speaking? Yes, wisdom will say, you see, in verse 14, say, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. So how will wisdom say wisdom is mine? Because no, it is a person that is the personage, that is the source of wisdom that is speaking. And who is that person? Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. He said, by me kings reign. Now this is wisdom and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me and those that seek me early shall find me. One thing about wisdom is that I remember I talked about wisdom. If it will be wisdom you walk in, you will seek it early. It's not when you are finished, you are in final year, that you now begin to walk in wisdom. You will not be able to still accomplish what you were supposed to accomplish if you are still walking in wisdom from when you started in 100 level. I'm just using the university illustration. I don't know why this illustration just keeps coming to my mind. It says, riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. What are durable riches? This is what the Bible calls true riches, eternal riches. I want to beg you, brethren, go for durable riches. Go for the true riches of God's kingdom. It's possible for you to walk in such a way that you'll be eternally very, very wealthy. When Jesus Christ says, store for yourself treasure in heaven, it was not a parable. He was not joking. It is possible for you to live your life in such a way that you are storing for yourself eternal treasure that can never be destroyed. Treasure that will last forever, for all eternity. Let me just put this simply. Even in heaven, there will be those that will be richer than others. Because there are some people who are believers, but they don't understand the principle of wisdom for storing for themselves treasure in heaven. Because Jesus Christ said that there will be those that will be called great in the kingdom of God, and there will be those that will be least in the kingdom of God. So one of the ways that you can ensure that you are great in the kingdom of God is to walk according to the wisdom of the Lord. As you walk in the will of God concerning every area of your life, you walk in wisdom. And when you are doing that, you are actually indeed storing for yourself treasure in heaven. You are building with gold. Gold that will not be destroyed. You are not building with hay. Because whatever, as long as you are living as a believer, you are building something. He says, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness. We saw this earlier, in the midst of the path of judgment. The wisdom of from above is righteous. It is just. He says that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasure. It says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways, before his works of old. See, the Lord created me as the beginning of his works, before the deeds of long ago. From eternity I was appointed, from the beginning, from before the world existed. Now you realize that the Bible referring to Jesus Christ's son says he's the first begotten of all creation. So he was the first before all creation. The first begotten above all creation. I'm talking about the Son, the pre-incarnate Son of God. And you will see that even in the new creation also, he's the first in the new creation. He's the first begotten from the dead. He's the first of all of us. He's the firstborn among many brethren, all of us that are in the new creation. And so you see this referring to the person of wisdom. He's the first begotten, of course, the person of the Son. He's the first begotten of all creation. Now, I don't want to talk about the eternal Son of God and then the eternal Word of God. That is a very, very deep matter. So I don't want to go into that, because there is the Son of God who was made manifest about 2000 years ago, but he was an eternal reality, because all of what God, what is happening now was planned from before the foundation of the world. So you see that, for example, say Jesus Christ was crucified from the foundation of the world and all of that, because everything that was going to happen, God knew it was going to happen and he planned it. So there is also the eternal Son of God. It is the Word that became the Son. But, I maybe if somebody writes me, we are going to do deeper study on that. Before the mountains were set in place, before the hills, I was born. So before anything existed, the word, the Son, is the first begotten of over all creation. It is a very, very important point to note. I just want to read that scripture so that you will not say I'm making it. So Colossians chapter 1 verse 15. Colossians chapter 1 verse 15 says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. New Living Translation says, he existed before everything was created and is supreme over all creation. So you see that is this same language used to describe the wisdom of God, which I said is the eternal Son of God. Before he made the earth and its fields, or the beginning of the dust of the world, and he established the heavens. The Holy Spirit is impressing me to just make this explanation, because somebody may be listening and may be getting confused. I thought Jesus is God and all of that. Yes. Jesus Christ, there is the eternal Son of God. Because when you talk about creation, you are talking about a realm of created beings. The angels are part of this realm. Heaven and earth is part of this realm. And all of that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There are the different heavens, the second heaven, the third heaven. Before creation existed, God existed. And in creation, the first that was brought into creation to create all things was the Word. The Word has always existed before occurrence of creation, before they decided to institute, to initialize creation. But in initializing creation, the Word became the eternal Son. And by him were all things made. He is the firstborn and the supreme over all creation, whether it is the first creation or the second creation. Now, in the first creation, the heavens and the earth were created. And then the crown of the creation, which is man, was created last. But in the second creation, the order is quite different. The first man, so in the second creation, which is the last Adam, which is Jesus Christ, was created first. And then all of us that are his sons and daughters are being created in the second creation, in the new creation. And then at the end of the day, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. So you see that the sons who govern over the creation in the new creation were created first. Then we know that eventually we know that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. This is the new creation. So even the second creation, the Word is also the firstborn of the second creation. It's the first. Everything that will happen, happened by him and through him. And he's the first, for example, just like he's our firstborn, he's the one that is also going to be responsible for the creation of the new heavens and the new earth. This is very, very instructive. He said, before he made the earth and its field, or the beginning of the dust of the world, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he marked out the horizon over the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when the fountains of the deep grew strong, when he gave the sea his decree, and the waters that the waters shall not pass over his command, when he marked out the fountain of the deep. Now you realize that in this Proverbs chapter 8, it's primarily talking about wisdom. Now, you will see that at some point it's talking about the person who is the source of wisdom. And at some point it's talking about wisdom that is a product of this person. So like these verses I'm just reading now is talking about wisdom that is the product of this person. But like verse 14 was talking about the person that is also the product of wisdom, which is also referred to as the wisdom of God. And who is this person? Jesus the Christ, the eternal Son of God. So then I was made beside him as a master craftsman, and I was the delight, I was his delight day by day. Wisdom was his delight. Whose delight? the eternal Son of God, rejoicing before him at all times, rejoicing in the habitable parts of the earth, and delighting in its people. So now, children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Let me jump to King James, verse 33. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Let me tell you one thing about wisdom. Wisdom for us human beings is a result of instruction. If you are somebody who will not hear instruction, who is stiff-necked, who is proud, you will not be able to walk in wisdom. Even the wisdom of this world. You are somebody that is giving to learning, is giving to improvement. It is impossible to fill a cup that is already full. You cannot walk in wisdom if you are a know-it-all. If you feel that you are wise, you have all the wisdom you need, you cannot acquire wisdom. So it is important that you have a heart that is instructable. That is what it means to walk in wisdom. And that's why one of the attributes that we must have as children of God, which is akin to the nature of Christ, is that we must be meek. A meek person is a teachable person. If you are not teachable, you cannot walk in the wisdom of God. He said, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my door. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." All they that hate me love death. Now, I was saying at the beginning of this teaching that you cannot build anything without wisdom, whether it's a home. And in order for you to build a home, you must first of all understand the will of the Lord concerning the home, and your goal becomes fulfilling that will, because you cannot talk about wisdom without a goal. Wisdom is having a goal and planning strategically in time to fulfill your goal. Now, let us look at what Apostle James is saying about wisdom, and then we'll end on that note because of time. James chapter 3, let's start from verse 14. I'll be reading from the New English Translation. It says, "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfishness in your heart, do not boast and tell lies against the truth. Such wisdom does not come from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. What is the fruit of this wisdom? Jealousy, selfishness." Let's start from verse 13. It says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, he should show his works done in gentleness that wisdom brings." So there is a wisdom that brings gentleness. This is the wisdom from above. But there's a wisdom that brings strife. It is jealous. It is selfish. It has hatred in it. This one is a wisdom that is from below. It is what the Bible refers to as the one that is earthly, it is natural, and it is demonic. He says, "For where there is jealousy and selfishness, there is disorder and every practice of evil." Verse 17, he says, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, accommodating, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and not hypocritical." One of the fruits of the wisdom, this wisdom of which we have been speaking, is that it is gentle, it is peaceable, it is pure, it is not dirty, it is not unrighteous, it is accommodating, it is full of mercy. The wisdom of this world is selfish, it is not accommodating. It is wicked, it is not merciful, it is very partial, and it is hypocritical. But the wisdom from above is not any of these things. It is not hypocritical, it is impartial, it is merciful and full of good fruit. It is gentle, it loves peace, it is peaceable, and it is pure. It is first of all pure. It is righteous. Our responsibility as God's children is to ensure that we are walking in the wisdom from above. It is dangerous to be foolish. It is very, very dangerous. If we didn't learn anything from the parable Jesus gave of the wise and foolish virgins, at least we should know that it is very dangerous. It can cost you your salvation if you are not diligent to walk in the wisdom of God. What does it mean to walk in the wisdom of God? We see that in Ephesians. It says, "Be not unwise, but be ye wise, understanding the will of the Lord." In everything you find yourself doing, God has his will concerning how it should be done. God has his will concerning the way business should be practiced. God has his will concerning the way marriage should be gone about. God has his will concerning the way you should raise your children. For example, say, fathers, do not provoke your children to rot. It is not in God's will that you as a father, you are behaving in a way that you don't care how your children feel. He says children should honor their parents. They should obey their parents. And then we should honor our fathers and our mothers. So when you are a child, your instruction from the Lord is obedience. As you grow into an adult, you must ensure that you still honor your parents. If you have a father and a mother, if you have a parent, and this is not always just your biological parent, it is important that you honor them. He says, so that it may be well with you. In fact, that is the first commandment with a promise. So it is the wisdom of God, for example, in dealing with your parents, to deal with them in honor. It is very, very important. It is the wisdom of God for you as a child of God in dealing with those that teach you the word of God, to deal with them in honor. The Bible says they are worthy of double honor. It is important because these are people through whom God will bless you. But the thing is that blessing does not flow where there is no honor. It's very important. The reason why God wants us to honor our parents is because they have the authority to bless us. And when we honor them, then the blessing can flow. The reason why God insists that we honor those that minister the word of God to us, your pastor in church, is that they have the authority to bless you. And when you honor them, the blessing can flow to you. The reason why God tells us to honor people that are in authority is because they have the authority to bless you. Let me tell you something. Even a class teacher can bless her students. And a class teacher can curse her students. I had the story of a teacher that kept telling her students that you people don't know anything. You people are good for nothing. You are dullards. And it was so. She didn't know that by saying those things, she was actually declaring curses on them. Authority is not a joke in the realm of the spirit. And in order for you to attract the good things that come with authority, you must be a person that understands honor. And this is just simply walking in wisdom. So I want to end this Bible study on this note. God wants us to be wise, and we must be wise. It is not God's will for us not to be wise. He says that we should not be unwise, but that we should be wise, understanding the will of the Lord. We're going to pray today, and we're going to ask the Lord to help us walk wisely. It is important that we as his people are wise. Jesus Christ said, I send you as sheep among wolves. He said, be thou wise as serpents and gentle as doves. In order for you to succeed in this world full of wolves, you need the wisdom of God. There is a reason why Jesus Christ said we should be wise as serpents. There is a way serpents are wise. They are supposed to be the most vulnerable animals because they can't run too fast. They don't have legs. If they have a wound on their body, they will die. Did you know that? We don't kill a snake. Just let it have a wound on its body. They are very fragile, so to speak. But they are thriving because they understand they are wise. They have many limitations. I even heard that snakes don't hear. I don't know how true it is. That they only see. But they are very wise. You don't see them. If you see a snake outside in the daytime, there was a very serious reason for that. You don't see them just moving around, loitering around. When you see them moving, they have a purpose and they have an agenda. Either they are going for food or they are running for something. They don't just move around like lizards. They just move around looking around. You know, lizards are always looking around, moving around, and most other animals, they don't move around aimlessly. You see, one of the things about being a wise person is that you must always have a goal and you must be goal-oriented. Jesus Christ said you give an account for every idle word. The reason is because every word you say must have a purpose. It must have an agenda. We don't just talk for the sake of talking in the kingdom of God. That is how to be wise as serpents. There are many things that people do. They just do it for catching crews. We don't catch crews. If you see me post a joke and I'm walking in the wisdom of God, there was an agenda behind that joke. You see me stir up a controversy on Facebook, say something that looks controversial. It was not just because I just felt like saying it. There must be a kingdom agenda backing what I am doing as a kingdom person. This is a very important point for us to note as kingdom people. And as we strive to walk in the wisdom of God, we will walk in his power and his glory will be manifested in us. Let us begin to pray. Let's ask the Lord to empower us to walk in wisdom. Let's ask him to deliver us from the distractions of the flesh, from the distractions of darkness. Lord, we bless you. Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. You can share this audio with your friends and contacts. And let us stream the globe with the word of God. Happy blessed day.